welcome to episode zero of Beyond the Booth podcast. My name is Aaron Havard. I am a disciple maker, a production guru, an audio and production contractor for Elevation Church, located here in North Carolina. I'm joined here with my friend and co-host all the way from Springfield, Illinois.
You know, I'm just representing where you originally came from, so you're welcome for that. We got a lot of stuff to learn here in Springfield. But yeah, as Aaron said, I'm Brennan. First off, I'm trying to be an apprentice as best I can to Jesus. Obviously, it's an ongoing effort and it's an ongoing process. We're always trying to get better and better. I'm also a father.
For sure.
My son's name is Eli. He is an awesome little kid. He's watching Moana in the back room right now. So, Eli, stay back there during this video, please, because I'd like to take this in one shot. along with that, I'm also the technical arts director at Springfield First. Aaron, a long time ago, used to work there with me. Which is how we got to know each other. And as well as that, I love connecting people to Jesus, trying to build up our tech team to get more people to use their gifts that God has given them on the tech area, or if there's other areas in church, that's kind of where we're at with things. And as well as when we're trying to connect from the booth, I just want to connect people via technology and not use technology as a distraction, but use it to help amplify what's happening on the stage.
So Brennan, you're a pretty busy guy then with your role, you know, at the church. You know, you're kind of like a one-stop shop, right? You do everything from working with volunteers, right, to the training, you know, setting the stage. You're programming lighting, you're doing the slides, right, camera prep. You even run front of house audio. So like you're a complete one-stop shop for you. And doing so, you probably have to invest your energy very carefully. Where are you investing your energy, you know, to get the maximum amount of return?
It seems like for me, that's changed over the years. When we were first starting, I was like, man, tech's cool. I want to just do tech. And obviously, I grew up in the church and I was already connected to the church, but, you know, with a younger mindset, it was like, man, we're just going to make the best thing we can with technology. We're going to do what we can. Didn't really think about the people aspect of it. Just really thought about lights and audio and video with my background starting in lighting. That was interesting to kind of look back to see where I have been. The big thing now is it's people. It used to be with the tech, and there is a place for tech, but we always have to remember that the technology is a tool that we're using. So what I see the most, I have a lot of time programming lights right now. Thankfully, we have another person that's come that's a studio engineer. So has a lot of studio background doing stuff. So I'm able to lighten that load for myself and focus a little bit on lighting. But like I said, on a large scale, it's people. We all know the churches are full of people. No matter what the size is, it's all about the people. The technology comes and goes. So for me on an actual, like, what am I doing tech-wise? Yes, audio stuff. And then I'm calling Aaron about every other day, like, hey, man, have you thought about this? And he's like, that's a terrible idea. Or, oh, that's a good idea. A little bit of that now, but still kind of working with my new friend at the church, as well as some lighting, some slide stuff. We automate slides, automate lights, less stress for people. So the automation has actually been big. I was nervous at first because I thought people were going to be like, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, well, I'm trying to light, like, it's more prep during the week, but we're trying to lighten the amount of stuff that people have to do on Sunday morning, just so that you can kind of, you can worship. Because even what you're doing in the tech booth is a form of worship, and we wanted it to be as distraction-free as possible. So, like I said, we started automating things, and that is where a lot of my time has gone. Thankfully, we do some songs.
And I'm sure it saved you a lot of time on the back
end. Yeah, because like even this weekend, for instance, every single song we're doing, we've done once before. So media is already prepped, lighting's already prepped. Obviously, we run back through it and make sure it's all good to go. That's me from my side. What about you, Aaron? I know obviously that your full time is not at church, but what do you want to talk about in regards to that?
Yeah, well, I think that the big thing that a lot of churches, and not just, doesn't matter the size, right? It could be big, small. They often forget where the true source of Jesus is, right? And it's in the people, right? It's not on stage a gear standpoint, right? I think that a lot of people on a lot of other podcasts online, right? They often will basically teach that, hey, you got to fix the source, right? You know, in order to get the best sounding mix, you know, it starts with great instruments, right? And then great microphones, and then great preamps, and then great consoles, and then great PAs, right? It's a backwards thinking approach, right? It doesn't start at the PA, it doesn't start at the console, right? It starts at the source. But I think that they miss the original source, which is the person that's behind the gear, right? It's your volunteers on stage, it's your contractors, it's your musicians, right? And so I think that, you know, one of the things that is so important to teach is, hey, what are you doing to stop thinking about the gear as the source and start thinking about, hey, what are the people that are behind that gear, right? How are you taking care of your volunteers? How are you taking care of, you know, yourself even, right? It's important to think about that. Thoughts?
Yeah, that's massive. And that's on both of our journeys, but going back to my journey with this, that's exactly what I've realized, is that we were focusing on the source. We were focusing on guitar, drum, whatever. And then speakers, whatever. And then it's like, you know, there's something missing here. Not just on the tech side of it, but in your own being, like in your own soul. It's like there's got to be more to this. So when conversation started happening with volunteers more, it's like, hey, how's life going? What's going on? How can I pray for you? Or even with small groups or accountability groups or anything like that that we're a part of, all of a sudden I was like, man, I missed the mark a little bit. But I remembered, like, man, God's gracious, and God's like, hey, that's fine. I'm going to take you where you're at. Let's start doing this together. So yeah, that's massive. And nothing to say bad about those podcasts. Those podcasts have their agenda and the things that they are wanting to work on. There are fantastic.
They have great content.
And I mean, there's ones that you and I both subscribe to that are fantastic. And there is stuff that is awesome.
For sure.
100%. And they also recognize, like, it's not just about the gear. It's about this, with a little more lenience on the gear, which is fine. Because they know what they're trying to reach. They know what they're trying to do. But even they really,
right,
man, it does start at that true source, which starts from Jesus, starts from God, and then comes down to the person behind the instrument, the vocalist or the speaker. That's where it really comes back to, which is something we all have to remember.
100%. And I think it's even important to not only focus on that aspect of it, but to also think about it from the perspective of burnout, right? Like, you're not getting rewarded spiritually if you're just constantly thinking about, hey, how do I make that snare drum the best it could possibly be, right? Like, that's not spiritually rewarding.
That's what we spend a lot of time on, is that stinking snare drum.
It might be like, that stinking snare drum. I mean, it might be that, you know, it's, you know, rewarding for that split second. But even in our devotional, right, today, we were talking about, hey, how do you go from the focusing on the immediate needs to the ultimate, you know, goal, right? Which is salvation, right? Getting people to Christ. Right. And I can tell you right now, Jesus does not care about what that snare drum sounds like, right? As much as I do, right? Like, I am the first person to be like, that drum kit sounds horrible. And you know, that's me being nice. Yeah. Like, you know,
we know, you know, just kidding.
But how do we approach it from the place of getting that spiritual recognition, that spiritual re-energy, right? From pouring into the people instead of pouring into gear, right? And you know, honestly, I think a lot of the churches, a lot of bigger churches, they do it wrong, right? They spend probably 80 to 90% of their effort into making sure macros fire, making sure the automation's good, making sure that, you know, when a volunteer presses a button, that it does exactly what it does, making sure that, you know, things sound great, making sure that loops are, you know, looping correctly and that, you know, things are going well. But when you get into the thick of it, they're probably spending 10%, maybe less, on their volunteers. Yeah. Right? If they're spending 80% on that, they're probably spending another 5%, you know, doing other stuff. Yeah. So how do you shift that focus? Right? Because the automation is important, it's important that it sounds good, right?
Yeah.
You want to create a distraction-free environment, but how do you do so that also promotes, you know, a space where you can disciple your volunteers and contractors?
Yeah, man. And that's something that, so while working at the church, and it's weird. I'm only 31. I'm only 31 and I've been working at the church for, over 10 years at the same church, which is weird. I don't think most people at
that's a long time
one can say that
you are devoted to the Methodist church.
I love my church.
Yeah.
And I love the people in my church. And that's the thing is, people don't want to think this way, but sometimes like the church is a business. So there are business things that have to happen in the model of the church that at least we have here where I work, where you volunteer and work. Yep. Sometimes, there is a business side to it. And I don't like saying that.
None of us do.
It doesn't feel correct. I don't know that it is correct, but it's the nature of what we have now. And we're trying to do the best we can with what we have now. So there are things like if you're an accountant at a church, you're probably not spending 50 or more percent of your time, or even, I don't know what the percentage would be, discipling people.
Probably not, no.
But what you are doing is allowing the church and others in that area that are ministry, I'll say ministry directors, because ministry directors would be like the people that are kind of more on the front side of things, that are connecting with people. So what you're doing is you're allowing those people to not have to focus on all this other stuff,
right,
but then they're able to. So there are things because of how the church is operated now, at least where we're at, that some positions kind of naturally fall that way. And I don't know that that's a bad thing. It's just the way that the church is now.
For sure.
There's business aspect to it that just, I don't know another way of how that would work besides it would just be us having normal jobs and us just doing house church or small group church, and that's it. There's a beauty in all size churches, and there's a reason why. Like my church, the church it used to be at too, mm-hmm. It's not the same size it was 10 years ago. But like there's things, and I mean that's the case at a bunch of different churches. Some church grows, church shrink, whatever. But the main purpose is still the main purpose. It's getting people to know who Jesus is. And then hopefully, this is a new term that I've started using and our church is starting using is apprentice to Jesus. So not just saying, yes, I'm a Christian, meaning I just believe in Jesus, but I'm actually following. I'm like a disciple. I'm doing what Jesus was training his disciples to do.
Yep.
So the modern word we're using for that is apprentice. And so like I said, there are certain areas that, yes, we definitely need to connect. And if we are in a tech role, so like if you're in a tech director role like myself or a producer or whatever that might be, and you're paid by the church, I mean, this is going to sound kind of harsh, but like we really need to step up, including myself,
for sure,
be there for
all of
us to have people first, gear second. Yes, we are tech people. Yes, we are paid to make sure the tech is running. Some thoughts I've had about that recently. Maybe we shouldn't have so much tech so that we can focus more on people. Maybe we do the best we can with what we have.
Yeah. I mean, the question I pose then is, have we gone too far?
Man.
Right. And we've talked about this. We've talked about this before, right? A lot of the times. And, you know, in many ways, I think we have. Like, you know, I mean, I'm all for it. Like, you know, I'm not the one that's saying, you know,
it's fun.
I'm not saying rip it all out, right? No, gosh, no. But like, I think that we've gone past what Jesus intended church to be, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've overshot the goal, and it doesn't have to be overshot, right? Like when you start thinking about community and start thinking about making those priorities, you know, you start to shift that back. Like you can have all the tech in the world you want, but if you don't have community, if you don't have, you know, like Elevation's e-groups or, you know, like small groups or something like that, if you don't have the resources in place, then
life groups, like,
yeah, exactly. Then you're, you know, doing a disservice by having the amount of gear and the amount of production and things like that going on, right? 100%.
Yeah, because that small group and that the smaller things are where life change happens. Yes,
exactly.
Life change can and does happen in the big church, but deeper, more impactful things definitely happen in small group. And that's one of the things that we've been realizing at our church, which is, I say that, maybe I should just speak for myself and say I have been realizing. is that, yeah, big church is good. You need to have time for your community to worship and be together. And that used to be the front door where everyone would come in to church that way. At our church, we've realized that people come in different directions because of different things. People come in from small groups that are already meeting and then they get connected to the big church, or people come to the big church and then they get connected to the small group. But that's where it's at. There's a reason why there were the disciples.
For right? sure.
There's a reason why there were 12 disciples. There's a reason why, you know, there is, people talk a lot about that emphasis on that number. But I'm just going to say small groups, period. That's massive.
One thing that I think is also important to kind of think about is, like, what about the small churches that don't have staff resources, right? Like, from the tech perspective, a lot of those small churches, the worship leader is a volunteer, the, you know, the organist is a volunteer, the, you know, person behind the soundboard is a volunteer. They're all volunteers, right? 100%. None of them are on staff. You know, what about them? How do they focus on, you know, it's not their job, right? They're not being paid by the church to, you know, focus on the source, to fix the sources,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So how do we as disciples empower the smaller churches to basically lead their church, to lead, to step up and to fill those roles that a staff member at a church normally would, yeah. right? That's kind of the hard thing that I think about when it comes to smaller churches, is like, I think there's a lot of production guys out there that are probably burnt out. They've been there for the last 35 years,
every
40
Sunday.
Years, right? Every Sunday. And, you know, they've never had, you know, someone come up to them and tell them, hey, I really appreciate what you're doing. How's your life?
Yeah.
You know, they've never had someone come up to them and pastor to them directly. Mm-hmm. And you know how hard it is from being in an audio perspective or even just a production perspective. How hard is it to get fed from the Lord? Mm-hmm. It's increased. Yeah. It is so hard.
You're doing stuff on
right?
Sunday.
Like, I have to go out of my way. It takes, like, you know, Pastor Stephen preaches or a guest preaches or something like that. I have not consumed an ounce of what he said on that pulpit. Not one, right? Because I'm so dialed into, hey, how's his headset? Hey, how's, you know, his handheld? Hey, how's the sermon band sound? Like, you know, all that thing. Hey, are the recordings rolling? Hey, are the backup recorders rolling? Like, you know, just keeping an eye on everything constantly. Yeah. And like, just, you know, making sure the things that the next segment we're coming to is ready to go, right? Like, we're doing things in the middle. And so, like, how do I get fed? It's insanely hard. You can think about it from the production standpoint at smaller churches. It's the same thing. You know, they're doing the same exact things. Yeah. So, Brendan, how do we, you know, empower those people to get fed?
Yeah, I mean, so that's actually something. So I was helping out here in town, my grandfather's and grandmother's church, a church that I used to go to, actually my whole family used to go to. When I was younger with my parents, and they brought me in like, hey, we need to fix some things. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's start working and try to figure some stuff out. And started doing a lot with them, and the list grew and grew because they didn't have a dedicated person or someone that had a big enough voice to say, hey, we need to fix these things. So I would say it starts out with, like, have gear that works. And my mantra at this point is, if it does not work and it's creating a distraction, this is going to sound terrible. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it. 100%.
Like, just grab a mega. Like, don't hear me say this. Grab a megaphone. But not just them. Many, many churches have gear that they've had for many years, and it still kind of works. But like I said, my thing is, like, if I do not want to create a distraction, the technology is there simply to amplify and enhance what's happening on the stage. It is not about that stuff. But for those volunteers that are getting burnt out, you have a voice. You're a person.
For sure.
No matter who you are a person. And talk to leadership. Talk to your pastor, your spouse, if you're married, whomever. Talk to people and try to get more people to help. Even if they don't know, just say, hey, just hang out with me in case something happens, or in case go on vacation for a weekend. It's a little different, I think, when you're paid by the church to be there a lot. because you're getting paid to be there.
Those expectations are there, right? Like, that is your job.
Exactly. And so because that, and even if you're volunteering, like, I mean, you and I, we were volunteering at the churches we, like, you were volunteering at your first church.
100%. A lot
probably. And then I was volunteering in the youth area and I loved it. But I was getting fed by a volunteer. I loved it. I was not getting burnt out. Then they were like, hey, we need to get some folks. And we stepped up, you stepped up. And then they were like, okay, this guy can figure stuff out. So why not? But like, I'm just gonna go back and say, you have a voice, like, live into it.
Yeah.
Something I've realized recently is because we are serving at a church and we're serving God, we want to give our best and we want to give our all. Sometimes I think we give more than our all. And what I mean by that is we overdo it. We overshoot it. It's great to do all we can for God, but our first priority is our family. Our church is massive, but our first ministry is our family, and which also includes ourselves.
100%. I agree.
If there's an expectation that you're there, that's great. If they assume you're going to be there, that's cool. They rely on you. That's awesome. But you have to watch out for yourself. You have a voice. That's something that I don't think tech people are, maybe, especially because you're wanting to give so much to the church, and volunteers in general, not just tech at the church, you want to give your all, you want to give your best, and then you get burnt out. And to me, that's part of my thing.
I don't think that. Yeah, I don't think that most tech people are used to hearing, hey, it's okay to ask for stuff. Like, you know, I think most tech people are, you know, they stuck their neck out one time and maybe tried to get help, right? Tried to say, hey, we need some, you know, new gear. Hey, I need a new headset. Mike, hey, I need money for batteries.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know.
And those are things that help simplify what you're doing. I don't have to worry about charge. Oh, are those batteries good? I don't remember. Oh, hey, guess what? They were just docked in the charging station. I don't have to worry about that. That was something we just learned.
Right.
But yeah, it's just little things. And the church is like, oh, churches are skimpy on money. Rightfully so. That is fine. But
they should spend it wisely.
You're spending it because, like, people gave to you. That's great. Maybe skimp is not the correct word. That's the word I'm going to use. But there are investments that are good because even though it costs money, it's an investment to help lighten the load on people. There's a reason why when we started streaming online, we chose the streaming provider that we chose. It's automated. I don't have to worry about it. Same thing when it comes to the automated lights and automated slides. I have to prep it during the week, but I don't have that stress.
It just works
during Sunday. Sometimes, a couple weeks ago, we had an issue. That's okay. We prep and plan for those things so that in those instances, when that happens, it's all good. We have a media op there. We have a lighting op or whomever, and they can jump in and run it, and that's great. But we take those steps to make sure that it's okay. So, but that's the thing I come back to is with the stress load you take on, is the tech that you have at the church worth it? If you keep adding and adding and adding, yeah, you can get better. You can get more experience. That's great. But when does the stress get too much? When is there so much focus that you can't focus on the message? You can't focus on songs, or you can't just like when I'm running audio, there's times that I'm just like back there just worshiping. Like, I'm not really a hand raiser. Sometimes I am, not really. but like I'm bobbing with it. You know, I'm like, man, God, thank you.
You're shaking the booth.
I mean,
man.
Literally. But like I'm connecting with the music, and that's always my concern. Is yes, there are more things I can do to make the audio the studio standard. I'm not going to get to that. I'm not the level of some engineers. I love the church. I love Jesus. And my whole thing is I want to be able to worship in my position. It takes time as well to get to that point. It takes running stuff a lot to be able to
say,
okay, stuff is good. Here we go. And still, like, even you miss things and it happens, but like I said, I'm going to go back to that question is, the amount of tech you have in your church, does it make sense? Are you burning out because of it? If you are, have those conversations. Say, hey, do we really need to do this? Hey, do we need to build, like, that was something I've heard in the past. You build sets for every series. That's cool. But if that is burning you out, it's not cool. Or you need to amp up your team.
What's the rate of return on that? Is it worth it? Right? That's the things you have to ask. Yeah. And like, even as a small church, right, there is, and you know, I'm going to be careful in what I say here, but I'm going to call it waste. There's a lot of waste when it comes to, you know, and I'm not talking about financial waste, but I'm talking about, you know, like energy waste, drive waste, right? There's a lot of stuff that, you know, people are probably doing that, you know, like, and I'm thinking about stuff like still burning CDs. Who uses CDs, you know? But, you know, someone is still,
I
you
like
know,
that that's what you
I
mentioned.
Guarantee it. Someone is still out there. Someone is still out there, you know, making, ripping CDs yeah. for, you know, someone to throw in their car and listen yeah. to. It's like, get an iPod, yeah. you know, get an MP3 player, get a phone, you know.
Yeah, train people.
Lose the waste.
And that's a conversation. I mean, that's, like I said, it's funny you bring that up because you probably remember back when we used to do that at the church when you were still here. And I don't, it's been
thousands
it's
of been CDs, thousands.
Probably, I think it's probably been roughly 8 to 10 years since we got rid of those. And we realized like there were a handful of people that like that was the only way they could rehear it or listen to it again or listen to it for the first time. I'm like, I get that. Yep. I want to help you, but we are starting something else. And that was a big thing is sometimes when you start a new thing, you have to stop something else. You start up something, you have to stop something.
Yep.
And that was the thing is like, we want you to be able to hear the message, but we really need you to use the means that we're doing it now, because this is a decent amount, sometimes a lot of extra work depending on what the actual topic is besides CDs. But like,
right. Yeah. CDs, it's easy. Yeah. It's like 5 minutes, yeah. But there are other things out there that we know are not 5 minutes that take a lot of time, that have a lot of waste to them for very little return. And I think that it's important, you know, I'm all about the leave the 99 to go find the one, like all about that, 100%, totally agree. But at some point you have to drop support for a product like Apple or Microsoft or, you know, Digico or roughly something like that,
years,
you know, at some point gear is just, yeah. gear just gets old, right? Products get old, they get replaced. So the same thing happens too. And I think a lot of smaller churches don't realize that, right? And I don't think that, you know, they don't realize, oh, if I stop spending, you know, I don't know how many dollars, but, you know, a few hundred dollars on this product every year, yeah. right? I could buy drum mics, yeah. you know, I could buy.
Or starting at the source,
XYZ.
I can buy the drum set or drum heads that.
I can buy new drum heads. Good.
And even yeah, the junky mics even. All of a sudden somehow sound better because there's a drum that's
sound way better.
And the heads haven't been beaten for years.
Beaten. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that back in the day. Back when we were at the church, maybe you did, but I didn't. I mean, I was more on the lighting side. The audio was, I was getting used to it. But I was like, what's wrong? They look fine. There's not a hole in it. And then yeah. you put new ones on. I mean, we do exactly. like every, we do twice a year at this point. And wow. Wow. And yep. then, you know, now we're starting to jump into tune. But like, yeah, we didn't, like we bought new heads, but here, and then we're tuning. And you can tune every couple of weeks and oh my gosh, they come back to life. And that's free. Yes, yeah. it's my time, but that's free. And thinking in that,
right.
that is, like you said, thinking on those smaller scales sometimes, because those things add up. Yeah, maybe if you're recording a song, you should have new heads every single time you're recording. That's the industry standard. But what about like, why right. do guitarists though, when they have these really nice tube amps, why do they want tubes that are used? Maybe we need to change the mold. I probably shouldn't go into that topic. You know,
they're probably going to start throwing old strings on it on guitars now. I just want that dull sound. Can you make it flat?
Perfect. That's what we need. But no, I mean, yeah.
That's how you get the wide mix, man. It's the flat
strings.
Just make
everything flat, and then it's all going to sound nice and muddy, and yay!
That's the new. It's the new glue. It's the new warm, whatever that means.
Yeah, but yeah. So I mean, so going back into that, yeah, it you being concerned with where your money's going is massive. Looking at the gear that
for
you
sure.
have, and is it working? Legitimately is, and if you don't know, that is okay. I'm not advertising for myself, I'm not advertising yeah. for Aaron, but find people in your, there are people in your area that are production people. Yes, they might be production people for concerts. I'm not saying church is a concert, but they know the gear, they know the things. They can say, hey,
they know their stuff.
There's newer technology yep. that's not, you're not gonna have to fight so much, and which lessens your yep. time. And
one thing I want to jump in and say too is be careful who you pick. Yes. That's going to support your ministry, vet them, right? Go to the people that have had their products put in,
yeah.
right? You know, it doesn't, and I'm not going to name the names of those integrators, but go see the stuff that they've installed in other places and make sure it aligns with your needs and your expectations. Because 99% of the time, I can tell you, it's not going to, right? You need to be cautious with how you're spending the money and be making sure that, you know, you're getting what you're paying for. Mm-hmm. If you're expecting a professional installation and they do, you know, half professional work, that's not a good way or a good use of resources.
Or on the extreme side, the opposite side, they put it, they copy and paste something from a church that, and that doesn't matter about the numbers, but if it comes from a church that has 10,000 members to a church that has 400 members or 100 members.
Right. Are they over,
they overshoot.
Is it over designed?
You know, the church that I just helped, they did not need the console that I currently run at my church, at the church that I do stuff at. And then that's the same thing for where Aaron runs audio a lot. Like the console, like I'm like, man, those are fantastic. Those would, I could be able to do this, this, and that. But I'm like, I can't justify that money. There are other things that we have that need to be done. And that's the people have to think in those regards. And that's, I think, my big concern is like integrators are great, but like even what I'm doing on my side, I would loosely call myself an integrator. I just want to help them with the tech they have. And if I see issues, I want to address it. And I don't want people to spend way too much money, or they're not focusing on the source. The speakers are messed up. The console you have, it's working. But you have two services in two different spaces and you're using completely different consoles. That is really hard for a volunteer that does not know what they're doing. That doesn't mean that they can't grow and become competent, more competent in those areas. But it just means like it simplifies it. It's less time. And sometimes for a volunteer, that little bit of investment in something that's a little bit nicer is less stressful for them. And the burnout doesn't happen.
Right.
So.
I mean, I also want to jump back to of like, you know, you said something earlier of like, is your gear working for you? Like, you know, is it literally working? Or, you know, like for example, just because something passes audio, I don't consider that working, right? Just because the light turns on doesn't mean it's actually performing the way that it should. And especially when you get into like low quality gear, right? The big things like power and, you know, things like just the basics, like is it overheating and things like that, right? Does it have enough coolant? That stuff matters. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised on like, for example, like Allen and Heath. Like I know that if you do not send those things, the voltages that it's expecting from the wall, you know, or if it's dirty power, those things, they act up, they sound horrible. You know, you might always be thinking, why is my mix always muddy? Well, it must be the PA. No, it's the what your console is plugged into. Yeah. Like people don't think about that stuff. They think, oh, the console boots up, it
and
works.
Just for reference, when he's referencing this console, it's because of an actual one that he went to at a place that had those issues. So we're not saying that every single Allen and Heath has that. We're just saying this particular thing has
that.
I mean, all consoles probably do, but for whatever reason, that one was showing it more. And that was also a unique, I would say that was somewhat of a unique place because there were some very weird power things that were going on at that church. And if you read in the manuals, these consoles manufacturers will say, this is a it needs to be between this this range for your voltage.
Yep.
This is the amperage. Obviously, when you start turning on phantom power and all this other stuff, it's going to start consuming a little more. But needless to say, like this was a somewhat of a unique case, but power is massive.
Yeah.
Things in your building. I mean, we've experienced that when we were working at the church that I'm still at, with like sump pumps turning on causing issues. With backdrop designs that were like that were LEDs or some that were tungsten causing humming inside of guitar pickups, aka humbuckers. Don't think of the bad term of what that could be. You get the noise. As Aaron was saying, like yes, there are a lot of things you have to look at that start at a source that you wouldn't even think about. We had to replace a transformer at the church a handful of years ago because it was something was leaking, and I don't even know. Long story short, we had some things that were fixed,
but it worked.
It was crazy. Some churches in our area have got hit by lightning multiple times, and it has fried all of their equipment. Well, that sounds like there's something else going on that caused that equipment to fry, which is unfortunate. A few years ago, our church had that same thing. We had lightning strike. Don't know what happened. Our projectors were fried, and they are expensive projectors, unfortunately.
They're expensive projectors.
We didn't have expensive. To pay for that. Well, at least directly. but we took a bunch of precautions.
You paid for it, trust me.
That's what I'm saying. But we took a lot of precautions. We added power conditioners. We added stuff just to prevent that. So that if something else would happen, it would fry something that's $100 and not $10,000+. And those are the means that you need to think on. It's before the source. So even like we're talking about the source, we're talking about Jesus. Right. But then when we come back to the tag, we're saying, hey, is your power correct? Hey, is this grounded? Grounding is it's a common practice. It's the law. Now you have to have stuff grounded, at least in most places. In your state? But yeah, there's a lot.
Look at my house.
There's a lot of things that, and you wouldn't think about that. And the only reason that we started thinking about that was because of when we were both working at the same place together, us two and our worship director, we were fighting those battles. We were like, what is going on? Random things would just start happening. And we were like, nothing should be causing this. And then we realized there was some weird sump pump thing. There was a weird HVAC thing. And when we realized those things, it's like, oh my gosh, it all goes together.
Everything matters. Yeah. Right? Like, I'm the guy, you know, and we'll end it on this, but I'm the guy that's like, there is no coincidences. Right? Everything is a part of, there's an equation for everything. And it, you know, everything is a factor in that equation. Right? You know, you think, oh, I plug this microphone into a sound console, it comes out of the speakers and that's it. Well, not exactly, right? There is probably 30 or 40 more things I could think of, you know, that need to be just right for that to sound amazing.
Should have had an auctioneer come on and ramble those off really quickly.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm just saying, like, everything matters. The details matter, right? Spending money, like you might, you know, for example, you know, yeah, you could go on Amazon and buy a $10, you know, or $3 XLR, right? 25 feet. It's perfect, right?
Metal's awesome. Metal.
I need that XLR. Copper's copper, right? And then you go on Whirlwind and that same 25-foot XLR is, you know, I don't know, $50, you know? And you're like, well, I can't afford 30 of those, you know? Obviously, it's really expensive, but it matters. Right? Spend your money wisely, but spend it on the right thing. Spend the money or save money where it doesn't matter, but on the things that do matter, on the core infrastructure, you know, spend it wisely, I should say.
Because, I mean, we've ran into this, and I know we got to go on this, but it costs more to keep replacing things than it does to buy the correct thing the first time. In the long run,
sure.
It will cost more.
For sure.
Not in every single thing, like moving lights and stuff. That's another topic. But with microphone cables, if you get a soldered connection versus a crimped connection, pull on that crimped connection and tell me what happens in a few weeks.
Big difference. Big difference. Yep, for sure. Well, Brendan, that's a wrap for episode 0, man. It was a pleasure.
Yes.
We'll see you.